All right, so we're called to order. Our first second item is approval of the June board agenda. I'll go ahead and move to approve the June board agenda.
Okay. Carla, so we have a first and we have a second. Any discussion? Or I'm just gonna, if it's okay, I'm just gonna move for the more roll call vote.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Carla.
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries with four roll call votes.
Thank you. Do we have anyone or any public comment from El Centro or San Bernardino?
None from San Bernardino.
Nobody called from El Centro, no.
Okay. All right. Let's move into the agenda items then. Item four, take it away, Ms. Moltz.
Okay, board members, I have before you, and I believe you can approve them in one action, just the approval of the May minutes. We had the May 25th meeting, and then we had a special meeting for May 28th to approve all of our required deliverables under our time aggressive requirements with our school district. So if I have a motion to approve the May minutes.
So moved.
I have a first, and then who was the second? I'm sorry.
Christy.
Okay. I have a first and a second. I'm going to move to the roll call vote if that's okay. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
She said yes. Christy?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
A motion passes with four roll call votes. Okay. Board members, I had sent a brief email earlier asking to pull the April financials. They are still working out some clarifications between VOA Southwest, primarily in the management fees for both schools for this year. So they just did not have the April financials finalized at this point. So I think I need a motion to table the April financials.
I'll make a motion to table.
Thank you, Denise. Is there a second?
Second.
Lily? Oh, Carla. Okay, I'll call for the vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with four roll call votes. The next piece on the agenda is the approval to submit our consolidated application. I bring this before you both in December and January because there's part one and part two. It's essentially the ability for our schools to apply for the federal dollars. Historically, it has not been a significant amount of both Ballington's budget. This year with the pandemic, because so much federal funding has come down, it has impacted the school significantly with all of the CARES Act funding, with all of the American Rescue funding. So I'm just asking for a motion to go ahead and to submit our consolidated application. And this would be for next fiscal year.
I'll move to approve the consolidated application for El Centro and San Bernardino.
Thank you.
This is Christy. I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? I'll move to the roll call. I think you said yes, or you shook. Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes with four roll call votes. The next piece is one of those annual things as well. It's to approve our Education Protection Act report. way a couple years ago, the voters approved Prop 30, which established this fund. It is not additional funding. It actually is rolled up into our LCFF funding. It's part of that actual funding that we budget for every year. But because it was approved by the voters, we're required to present a separate report on that. Ultimately, we use it to provide support for teacher salary. Again, it's not a it's still just part, it's a component of our LCFF funding. So if I could have a motion to approve the Education Protection Act report for this fiscal year.
Well, move to approve the Education Protection Act report for El Centro and San Bernardino as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Lily? Okay. So I have a first and I have discussion. Okay, I'll go for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Okay, and Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with 4 roll call votes. Thank you. The next piece is just really an acceptance of Annie McKenzie's resignation from the board. I had provided you with her email, essentially requesting her resignation. I about it at one of our, I believe at our last meeting. This is just formalizing. Again, she will be available for any support we might need. She just doesn't attend the board meeting, so she felt it was best just at this point to resign officially from the board. Do I have a motion to approve her resignation?
I'll move to approve her resignation.
Thank you, Christy. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Was it Denise?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Thank you. The next action item is the approval of board meeting minute dates. And board members, I kept it essentially the same as this year's meeting, just the third Tuesday of every month. And then I projected out when those months that we owe those financial reports to the school districts, we try to give an extra week just to prepare them. So those are the weeks that are not the third Tuesday of every month, as our schedule is. Historically, we have gone dark in July. I know that there are a lot of moving parts. So if it was okay, board members, it's not officially on the calendar. But if something should, require us to meet in July, I wanted to give a heads up that I might possibly call it a quick July meeting as well. However, right now it's not officially on our board meeting date schedule.
I think that's fine. It seems like we can come together when we need to, even in between meetings. So I'm fine with that.
Thank you. And again, it's just, there's just so many changes lately that I don't want to say that we won't have the need.
Yeah. Well, I'll move to approve the board meeting dates for 2021-2022.
Thank you. Second? Oh, Carla? Yeah. I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Okay, I'll call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with four roll call votes. Thank you. Okay, we're moving along. I will go, if it pleases the board, right into the discussion items. And my discussion items will be brief. I want to give as much time to Mr. Anderson and Ms. Bramner, because I know that they're excited to present to you their academic scores, which actually at one of our board meetings, I want to say two board meetings ago, we agreed that would take the place of our proxy for state testing this year. So with that said, I brought to you AB 1316 at our last board meeting, which was a very controversial legislation that they were trying to pass, which put an enormous amount of additional restrictions up on charter schools. They would have required additional audits, limited our ability to hire certain positions or could contract with certain positions, would have required daily minutes, much like the school districts have, where right now charter schools, due to their nature, have some flexibility in that. Happily, with all of the support, AB 1316 did not pass. So that was a solid win for our charters. So we're all very, very happy about that. It got stopped in its track. So just an update on that. Any questions on the AB 1316? Just really positive, a good thing for us. The Diego partnership. I know I had reported a couple months ago about a partnership about establishing a charter school here in San Diego with a local nonprofit organization, Neighborhood House Association. At this point, due to some of the most recent changes in Volunteers of America Southwest, CEO Gerald McFadden, as well as some of the, I wanna say just the percolating news articles here in San Diego, we are going to put a halt on this partnership at this point and really just focus on the administration of Ballington San Bernardino and Ballington El Centro right now. The partner agency agrees that probably now is the timing is probably not good to go to a San Diego school and request a charter at this point, but to maybe just pull back and just wait for a while. So I did want to bring that to your attention, board members. We have a solid draft of the charter. We have a solid budget, which changes every day anyway. But should the direction be in the future, we want to pursue another charter school, I think we have at least the petition available. Again, I think it's just timing is probably not best right now on many different levels. And I can answer any questions about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
That's okay.
So this was a decision made internally. I mean, it wasn't because it was because we could see issues and problems, not because of the other.
Yeah, I felt it would be my concern was submitting our charter at this point to San Diego Unified with all of the press and the article right. Now. I'm just wanting to for us to maybe just lay low when maybe sure. Time is better. And also I feel like there's a lot of changes happening to Ballington and CEDC and just in itself that taking on trying to open another school, I just not the best for us.
Okay. That was my only concern was that I wanted to make sure it wasn't San Diego Unified telling us that it was
no. Okay. No, I truly believe in the climate of charters to begin with. They're tough to get approved to begin with. And then coming before them in today's current climate, I think our likelihood of getting approved would be very slim.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
You are welcome. This piece was a letter from Superintendent Ledoux. I shared at the last meeting, you know, Mr. Ledoux is aware of Mr. McFadden's resignation. He did reach out to both myself and Mr. Anderson. We had shared with him really nothing changes. Mr. Ledoux did follow up, and I had sent the letter out because I wanted it to just to alert the board members prior to the meeting. And I also included it in today's packet. Essentially, he has a request. Information. He wants to know who is, you know, in current leadership now for Volunteers of America. Subsequently, I did have a meeting with our attorneys, our charter school attorneys, and they shared, you know, it is just that. It's simply a request for information. They will put together a draft letter on our behalf responding to the superintendent. He did copy his attorney, so I wanted it to be coming from an attorney to be more official. They had shared, though, you know, because my comment was, he's focused on Mr. McFadden being the lead petitioner. The charter school's attorneys did share, you know, that's something that happens at the beginning of the charter. That's years ago. You have to have a lead petitioner to submit a charter. You know, honestly, at this point, that shouldn't even be relevant. But again, I think that's where he's focusing on. We will have a response to him by the deadline in the letter. We will simply just respond accordingly. Because it is Volunteers of America Southwest, I did notify the interim CEO of who stepped in on behalf of Mr. McFadden, Barbara. And I'm going to, I have a hard time saying her last name, but I believe it's Babinski. So she was aware. She did ask for her national attorney to be present on the conference call with our charter school attorneys as well. We spent a lot of time sharing with the national attorney just contextual background on the two Ballingtons, on CEDC, on Volunteers of America Southwest, how we truly are separate corporations, how we intended it. We were very intentional to be separate corporations. We're taking additional steps to continue the separation, just to bring her up to date on that. Both attorneys agree that just providing him with a very simple letter identifying, you know, Volunteers of America has an interim administrator of Volunteers of America Southwest. Nothing has changed. Mr. Anderson is still the principal. I myself am still here. Our day-to-day operations are still the same. So that was something that we were that they were going to in their letter. Any questions on that? Okay. The next piece is our union collective bargaining update. I had provided you an email from our Miss Elisa Medina, and she is our union representative at Ballington, the teacher representative. This is a year where we were supposed to renegotiate our whole contract, all of it. So given, I think, as you read in her email, our attorney proposed to them, perhaps they would like a 1-year extension, keep it in forward this next year, and then come back to the bargaining table the following year, just with everything going on. As she noted in her email, they agreed to that. Again, they just negotiated their MOU. And I think her quote was they didn't have the energy to move into negotiating another agreement. So we are on the table for that. Yes. So we are tabled, at least. So the current collective bargaining agreement we have in place from a couple years ago stands going into next year. If there are no questions for me on that, I will actually turn it over to Mr. Anderson. Do you want to go first presenting your NWA?
Yeah, sure. That'd be fine.
And if you wanted to, if it pleases the board, if you wanted to just wrap your principal's report in with when you're done, I don't know, for
sure, that type of stuff. Sounds good. Okay. I appreciate that. Where are we on the diagrams here? What do we got coming up first, Ms. Doreen? Yeah, basically here, you know, this is a second through sixth grade compilation of MAP scores at the end of the year. And what we did is we looked at the winter to spring MAP tests. Part of that reason, and we didn't include the fall data, is because the fall data was skewed. You know, it was very inflated. We found that parents were giving answers to children. And after a little bit of communication to the parents, by the second benchmark assessment, we were able to get a more truer idea of where we were as a school. And that continued to the end of the year. And basically what you can see here is you know, the basic scores in reading is in blue and math is in orange. And you can see that in the second grade, 26.6% proficiency rate with reading. Third grade, it was 33.3 proficiency. Fourth grade was 27.3. Fifth grade was 41.3. Sixth grade, God bless them, reached up over 58% proficiency rate. And what we do is we take the average of that to give a school-wide idea. Now, these are SBAC comparisons. So when the MAP testing is taken, they correlate the difference betwixt and between the scores of the MAP score and the SBAC score to see where we are in relation to proficiency and what our end of the year proficiency rate is. And as I look at that now, I probably should have axed out the second grade data, because in reality, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade would be the schools that the grades that would be used for the SBAC. All this in mind, and whole school-wide would probably be a touch higher. But if you look at the last data here, you can see that 38% of our population were reading either met or exceeded proficiency. And with math, you can see that in second grade, it was 48.3%, third grade, 15.4%, fourth grade, 24.3%, fifth grade, 22.6%, and sixth grade, 40 percentage points, which leads to a total of 29.4%. To put this within the context of the school and what we usually come out with at the SBAC, you know, 38% actually is the school-wide SBAC response to reading. So when I look at this data, I can see that, you know, when you put it in the context of reading loss, 38% is where we were. We're still a middle performing school in the state of California, but we wish to go higher than that. With regard to the math, you can see that 29.4%. And usually, again, we usually raise a little bit above that to at least 30, 33%. So when I look at this data, I think to myself, well, we've ended the year pretty much with the same proficiency rate that we have done in real-time education. That to me seems pretty good, because the learning loss communicated through this data is that it's not, you know, we have not dipped in really where we were in proficiency rate. So, you know, we have to take that into account as we enter next year. Traditionally in the summertime data, you know, the summertime slide will take place and this data will drop. So our intention at the beginning of the year is to identify the students that were tier three and tier two students and monitor them, so that when we do the benchmark at the beginning of the year, we will be able to see where our tier two and three students are and be able to focus on the intervention program that we've communicated several, I think last board meeting, with our extended learning plan. So all in all, when I look at this data, I think, yeah, it's okay. I do want to point out, when we speak about the reading and the math scores, you know, I need to brag a little bit about my kindergarten teacher, Ms. Holder. This year, Ms. Holder was able to reach over 70% proficiency in both math and reading with online instruction. That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And I just do want to give her kudos, and I want to point out that, you know, I came into her class a lot this year and watched her instruct, and it was a marvel. She embraced digital education. She was able to engage all the children. It was remarkable to see how she was able to do the digital instruction, to work with small group, whole group. It was phenomenal. So I do want to point out that the work that she did was amazing. I also want to point out that the sixth grade team through digital education was able, if you look, 58% proficiency rate. That's phenomenal. You know, so we had teachers that really wrapped themselves around this and did some good work to keep us in the ballgame. You know, we've come up with our extended learning plan, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen. My hope is that parents and children will continue to, you know, to go to some of these online educational forums, will continue to read, will continue to work. You know, that's my hope. But, you know, as I look at this data, I think to myself, okay, we maintained where we were. But in reality, all of that we had to do to maintain really shows that they demonstrated great growth. So, you know, I look at that data as phenomenal right now, you know.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very, you know, they did it. You know, we had a nice plan in place. And I really, you know, again, I really appreciate, you know, the educational plan that we put together for them that really kept the children instructed during the morning, all of the morning, and then provided asynchronous instruction. So phenomenal. So that's our end of the year MAP data comparison. You can see that there was in fact growth. So I appreciate that. Next slide, Ms. Doreen. All right, now this is student growth summary. This is an end of the year summary report that the MAP data pushes out. And again, we looked at the winter to spring since our fall data was skewed. Now what we see here, and again, you know, you can see that triangle there, and what that orange yellow triangle looks at is the norm. So the normative growth, they expected this is where it was. That doesn't mean it really is, but you can see that we reached, you know, first grade, second grade, sixth grade, we attained beyond growth, and third, fourth, and kindergarten, we were reaching towards. So this just demonstrates that, you know, as far as the norm across the board, we made some significant growth. But again, you know, growth does not mean proficiency, and that's very important to look at when you look at data, you know, but it does demonstrate that there was some observed growth betwixt and between the winter and the spring, you know, and you can see in the growth there, it talks about in kindergarten 1.9, first grade 1.4. And so you can see that growth column there of how many points growth. But another thing I want to point out is since the data in the fall was so skewed, you know, the growth has to do with that whole package. So that kind of put us below, you know, so we had a lot more growth to make because of the skewed high numbers of our fall MAP testing, which is very frustrating for me. Next one.
And Mr. Anderson, I know we've put so much resources into this upcoming budget to help support academic even more.
Oh, definitely. You know, so we do have a plan how we're going to approach this. But if you look at the language arts reading program right now, you can see that in all instances, we did in fact meet or reach above the norm. So with reading, you can see the kindergarten right there at the edge, first grade hit their mark, second grade meet the norm, third grade met the norm, fifth and sixth met the norm, exceeded the norm, and fourth grade hit the norm. So in reality, with regard to the MAP test, that really is an assessment that takes place throughout the United States, I feel as though we demonstrated that as a school, we were in fact able to meet the normative projected growth targets. So I'm very, you know, I was very, very pleased to see this. Next slide. Is this math or, oh, language usage. Again, language uses. Third grade, you can see that we beat the norm. You know, we hit that, our mark. Fourth grade hit the mark. Fifth grade, a little bit below with that. And sixth grade, touching upon it. You know, so these are just normative projections. So when you look at this data, you can see that, all right, third, fourth, sixth grade, we're hitting the mark. Fifth grade, we need to look at our curriculum. We need to look at how we're instructing there. And that'll be something that we look at over the summer. And we will look at when we work with our response to intervention program that we've developed next year. So we can see that. Science, you know, a misnomer. I looked at my science grade. I met with Mr. Jones today, and really we had a higher level of proficiency. So I was a little concerned with this, but you can see that, you know, it looks as though we haven't hit the target rate, but if you disaggregate the data from a school-wide basis, I thought we demonstrated a goodly amount of proficiency in the science realm. And again, the data was affected by our beginning low as well, because it looks at growth. And then as far as the principal report, you know, we're coming to an end of the year wrap up. When we speak about our area of focus, right now our focus is our school response to learning loss that occurred. You know, we're all wrapping ourselves around that. We're identifying what I've done is, and what I'm in the process of doing is identifying school-wide all of our tier three students and all of our tier two students, so that tomorrow we'll be working with class lists and every teacher will be given a list of their tier three and tier two students. And with this list of students, when we begin the year next school year, we'll give the baseline assessment, and then we'll be able to see which students have either dipped down or not, so we can identify these students for the ITR program. You know, we're also working to staff the extended learning plan. We know we have said we were going to add a math reading specialist, a RTI specialist in lower grade, upper grade. I actually have interviews starting this Friday. You know, we'll be hiring a fourth grade teacher. One of our teachers has moved on due to a transfer from her husband. So we'll be looking at that. We will also be looking to fill a kindergarten position that was not filled this past year because of numbers with TK students. And then I'm also working on purchasing the materials to support the extended learning for the upcoming year. As far as interventions, we'll be using the same things with the NESI, Compass Learning, Prodigy Math, small group tutoring. We've developed a K-3 ELL after-school reading program. We'll probably do a math component to that if finances allow. And then we'll be dealing with a 3 through 6 grade ACES tiered intervention program at the end of the day. And hopefully with all this work that we do, the different things we've done, we will see academic growth and proficiency. As far as teachers, we've invested a lot of money into our teachers this coming year. We use a lot of the funding to provide Fontes and Pinnell guided reading material that we're going to now have professional development in. We also will be working and continuing work with Solution Tree. All in all, we'll probably have about 15 separate professional development days in our curriculum and in developing a systematic approach to RTI, which is very exciting. And then we will also be doing several book studies throughout the year on the topic of RTI and professional learning communities. And as far as the resources, you know, we spoke about this with the extended learning program. You know, very grateful to the state of California and Department of Education and all that they've been able to provide us to develop these programs to help mitigate the student learning loss. And again, our MAP data says that our students have in fact demonstrated growth throughout the year. So there we are. So, you know, if I was to summarize, it's just the idea. I think we demonstrated growth and I pray to God we can begin as we began prior to this pandemic.
Good.
Yeah. Any questions or thoughts? And I do want to point out that we had our kindergarten sixth grade graduation this yesterday, and in 111 degree heat.
Oh my gosh.
It was a phenomenal experience of parents coming with decorated cars and blaring horns, and we had cowbells, and you know, there were different stations where children received certain goodies and took pictures, and I was very very happy with the result of it. I mean, I think Miss Garcia, you came with your children, and you know, it was quite an event. And so I do want to congratulate all the teachers for coming together to make that happen and spend over 2 hours in 111 day heat to decorate and balloons, all this stuff. So
directing traffic. With their backs, their shirts were soaking wet.
Soaking wet. I think I lost 5 pounds. It was a very positive end of the year. And I think it was very, very important that we did that because, you know, with all the digital learning, to actually have the children come and the parents come and to send them off in such a way was really kind of special. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, the parents, the ability to talk to parents who I've worked with for such a long period of time and, and to just know the stories of the children was phenomenal. So I want to thank the parents and the teachers for everything they did to make that work.
Absolutely. The teachers went above and beyond last night. That was
phenomenal.
I was super impressed with the decorations and the balloons and like Lily said, the one teacher that was clear out in the on the west end of the parking lot, yeah, he was drenched and running up and down to make sure that nobody was cutting and you go next and you go after this. I mean, it was so smooth. And, you know, I'm sitting there nice and comfortable in the AC of my vehicle, but it was very different as the parent of a sixth grader whose children won't be there next year. It was a nice send-off. It was a really nice send-off. So there were tears, not just by myself, of course, but there were tears. So it was good. We could just drive away. They didn't get caught crying in front of their friends.
Right. But it was so, good tears. It was good tears.
It was, well, they're going to miss Ballington. They're both going to miss Ballington. So I don't think my oldest two ever cried, you know, they're like, yeah, okay, bye elementary school and on to bigger and better. That to me, that shows, you know, the bond that they had.
Yeah. And it was phenomenal to see that with the children and to really, with the sixth graders, send them off and to know them from kindergarten, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And kindergartners, you know, they were on it. They really were. So that's how we ended our year. Miss Shannon, you're up.
I don't know if I can beat that.
Oh, stop it. You're not beating anything.
I do want to say, if Mr. Anderson, if El Centro has a kindergarten teacher that was able to get 70% proficiency during remote learning, that is, I don't even have the words. That is phenomenal. So congratulations, Bill.
Thank you.
Joseph, could you actually put the other one up first, please? I'm not sure if Joseph heard me. No, not that one. There should be another graph. That one. Okay. So this is the one I wanted to talk about first. As Bill mentioned, those orange diamonds are what the system projected the students to be at based on their fall test. And it was really interesting to see this because the younger the child was, the more inflated the target was. And what that told us is there was more intervention by parents when they tested at home in the fall in the younger grades than there were in older grades. So like first grade, you'll see that they had a growth target that was super, super high. And there was no way they could have made that on their own because they had so much parent intervention. When they took the fall test, the system said, hey, you guys are ahead of the game, and gave them a growth target that was off the charts. So that's why it looks you know, like incremental as everyone got older. But I do want to mention fourth and fifth grade. Traditionally, though, especially fifth grade, this particular fifth grade class is one that has had some academic challenges. They're very, very small. About half of them are in special education. More than half of them are English language learners. And when they tested for the first time 2 years ago, the scores were very, very concerning. And to see that over distance learning, they have met their growth targets. When I saw this, I just about cried. I was so happy for them because they've really, really worked. And I think that distance learning for this particular group of fifth graders, distance learning was almost a service for them because it removed some of the social issues and some of the intimidation. And they really, really made some achievements this year. I'm also very happy with third and fourth grade. They came very, very close or even met their targets as well. So that's why I wanted to start off with this one. And then Joseph, if you could go to the CASP correlation. That one. This one blew me out of the water. This, I was so incredibly happy to hear this or to see this. I'm moving my cursor like you all can see my cursor. You can't, you can see Joseph. But third grade is right on track. Third grade across the state is when we see scores a little bit lower than what we want. And again, in fall, they had some parent interference and they still were right on track with what the state did 2 years ago. But fourth and fifth grade, I want to start with fifth grade. These kids' scores this year, and we know they were on their own because every single one of them came into the school to take these tests. They did them live. They did them one-on-one with the teacher. These students' scores more than tripled over the last 2 years. They had in reading, I think it was, when they were in third grade, they had 7% proficiency. Seven.
Wow.
And now they have 38. And in math, I want to say, Doreen, do you remember off the top of your head, they were like 10?
It's like 9%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're at 22. To me, that is just gold. And it tells me that our teachers did good for them. Our teachers served them. And it tells me these students did not give up. Fourth grade, I'm incredibly happy with that. 44% of met or exceeded in reading is right at the state level. Blew San Bernardino out of the water. I'm just very, very, very happy with these scores. And based on, I don't have them here, but kindergarten scores for spring. And we have to remember that in fall, they're probably not legitimate. You know, we would love to celebrate all this fantastic scores from fall, but we realized that was really assessing what the parents knew. But for spring, when again, they did it in class, even the remote students made an appointment for after hours and came in, did it one-on-one. Both our kindergarten classes together for math, they had 50% proficiency. And for reading, they had 42%, which is really, really strong. So I want to just a real hats off to the teachers. We went out to lunch today. Today was our supply give back, and I'll get into that during the principal's report. But we all went out to lunch afterwards, and somebody commented that they speak to colleagues that work for large districts. And those are the teachers that said, this is impossible. And we looked at it and said, no, this is not impossible. Here's what we're going to do. And we laid out a plan and we did it. And these scores tell us that we did it very, very well. And I'm just so proud of the teachers and the students.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So before I go into the principal's report, are there any questions about the actual MAP data? Okay. My principal's report is not that much different from Mr. Anderson's. Gearing up for end of year, doing a review. It was pretty awesome because last Thursday was our last kind of in class on schedule academic day, and the teachers were still doing hardcore academics. And I was very impressed with that. So end of year activities, doing summative assessments, looking at where we're going to place them next year. We've talked about, you know, what students would work best with which teachers and where they should be. We identified students who needed more intense learning loss. Because of our ELO funds, we are able to offer a summer program to address that learning loss. And so the bottom, that's a poor choice of words on my part, I apologize. The students with the lowest 25% in scores in both their summative tests in the classroom and their MAP scores were invited to participate in the summer program. And we're calling it, with the parents, we're calling it an academic boot camp. And it will be 4 days a week for 5 weeks, where they will get 90 minutes of language arts and then 90 minutes of math every day, and hopefully get them caught up and ready for next year. And this will be a documented intervention for them. So we're getting ready for that. We are still in the middle of analyzing curriculum. As you know, we're looking at a new language arts curriculum for next year. We've narrowed it down to two. We have a presentation tomorrow and another one on Thursday. And then we should be able to make our final decision by the end of the month. Just like Mr. Anderson, we are interviewing. I have four interviews tomorrow. We're trying to identify two interventionists, one for K-2, one for 3-5, and both interventionists will work on both language arts and math. We're also looking at the ACES coordinator, who will also be doing the MTSS program, which is documenting the interventions, identifying what intervention strategies might work for specific students, documenting them, and then getting everybody together if the decision needs to be made about referring for testing. And like Mr. Anderson, we had our fifth grade promotion yesterday, and it was so wonderful. We did not do a drive-through. We actually set up chairs outside, and I had families tell me ahead of time how many people were coming from their family. So we set up chairs in a little pod for each family, and then we made a sign with the students so the families could sit together and still social distance from other families. And it was wonderful. I did get a little bit choked up because we talked about how these students that were leaving Ballington were the little tiny first graders when we first opened our doors. And I just didn't see how it was possible that these kids that I think of, that they're so small, and they're just not, and they were going on to middle school. And it went very, very well. Like Bill, we had the decorations and the balloons and the noise and the music, and it was so hot. It was so hot outside. But everyone did really well. The team got together and set up all the chairs and set up the speakers. The fifth grade teacher made little baskets for each student and wrote each fifth grader a note talking about their strengths and how she thinks they're going to do really well in middle school. And so we were able to call up each one. They were able to take pictures with the banners, the backdrop, and the balloons. It went really, really well. I had so many families tell me afterwards on how we saved their child. And, you know, so many obstacles that they had faced since they were little, and they were just so happy. So it was a wonderful, wonderful day yesterday. Hot, but wonderful. And then after school yesterday, during pickup, we invited the kindergarten parents to park and take pictures and celebrate with the same decorations. And they got the same little promotion portfolio. Our picture company does it complimentary for the schools. It's a little picture portfolio that says, you know, Johnny has, this is a certificate of promotion and their name, and it's got a little picture. And the photography company this year obviously couldn't put any kind of cap or gown or anything on them because they can't share this year. So they dressed up, they took their picture, and it was outside. The company set it up outside last month. They took the picture, and then they went back to their studio and superimposed a gown on every child. It was just absolutely wonderful. And then today we also had their supply give back, where they anybody that wasn't able to come yesterday, or maybe they were only remote. So we were outside again, and the teachers were fantastic. They brought their pop-ups and their chairs and their water, and every single teacher, I never even asked them to do this because they've taken so much on this year, but every single teacher made goodie bags and gifts and things like that for their students to give them as they drove by. We had one teacher whose mom, and I actually have gotten to know her mom fairly well, created candy necklaces for everybody in that particular class. And they were so happy to see their teacher. And, you know, it was spread out enough and slow enough through the parking lot that the students and the parents got to speak with the teacher for a few minutes and get their little goodies, return their Chromebook. And we had quite the system going today. And then we went out to lunch, and it was a really good way to wrap up a pretty tough year. And I think that all things considered, we did extremely, extremely well.
I'm so happy for you, and you know, just to hear the triumph in your voice about wrapping up a year that has been so, I mean, I don't even know the words to describe it, because whatever I describe, I know it's been like times 10 for teachers and principals. But, you know, it is so great to hear, you know, your joy.
Thank you.
And, you know, just congratulations. That's wonderful.
And there's actually one more thing I want to share. I got so excited about scores, I forgot about this part. But as I'm sure you can all imagine, it's very, very difficult to teach music over Zoom.
Yes.
And we have a pretty talented music teacher, and she actually ordered instruments that were able to be sent home. And the parents were on board with this, which surprised me, because if my kids brought these home, my head would explode. But they brought it home, and she was able to do a virtual concert. And the participation was somewhat low because she needed to do it with students who really attended every time. But I shared a video, just one class, just a couple minutes. If Joseph could put that up, I'd love for you to see how they are reading music. They're connecting music to letters, to sounds. They're connecting everything. As some of you may or may not know, music and exercise are the only two ways to use both sides of your brain at the same time. And so that's why I was really, really happy seeing this. So go ahead and play it, Joseph. Joseph. So I just wanted to give you all an idea. I have the videos. I can send them with you, but I'm starting to get choked up myself. But there was one little boy in that video. He's going into fifth grade. When he came to us in kindergarten, he couldn't speak at all. And he graduated from speech therapy this year. And like I said, I don't mean to overstep or be too boastful, but I just saw what these teachers and students did this year. And like I said, there were people in other areas that said it was impossible. And I think we proved to them that it's not. and these students can achieve so much if we just give them the resources.
Good job, Shannon.
Thank you. And I'll share that entire playlist. It's pretty long because there's one for every single class, but if you ever need a smile and want to see a little kindergartner, it's pretty cute.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Anderson and Ms. Brandner. I know it has been, it goes without saying, a tremendous year of just unpredictability, just unknown, and tremendous accomplishments. I know you both had to still facilitate school in addition to all of the many reports and you know, the projects and all of the added templates and the stepping through all the,
the templates.
And they're not done yet, as we discovered as we got this week another one that they want us to complete. So again, thank you to a tremendous thank you to each and every one of you, as well as your team. Very, very accomplished and hard work. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that turns us over to any board closing comments. I'm feeling like we had a short meeting, which I think is nice from a prior two or three months, right? It might be light out still, so that's a good thing, right?
But does anyone have any closing comments, anything they want to say that they didn't say?
It dropped below 100 degrees about 5 minutes ago here in the high desert.
Hey, go
on and brag about it, Miss Shannon. I just want to say thank you to everybody and all the supporters. We've made it through a very difficult year, but you know what? We did it. You know, and I'm really, my staff and I, and you know, we're really looking forward to moving forward next year and making it happen again, and you know, just putting together Ballantine Academy in real time. So you know, we're ready to roll. That's all I got to say. So thank you very much.
Excellent. And I wanted to when I was out with the teachers today, and I let them know I'd be seeing you all tonight, they did want to express their gratitude for the support. They know that there's a level of trust, and they're grateful for it. And they're grateful that somebody told me today that they're allowed to do their job, is the way they put it.
I get that. I mean, I get the value of that, I should say. You know, I get that comment. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. No other comments? Hearing none, should we call it? 6:33.
Yay. Wow. Wow. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time tonight.
I know. We feel like we gained so much, right?
Thank you very much. I know what I'm going to do.
I was going to say, I know what I'm doing.
I'm going to bed. Thank you very much.
And I'm sure you're going to rest well.
All right, guys, we'll catch you later, okay?
I'm grateful to everybody. I think we had a great wrap to the year. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations, principals.
Very good night.
Catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.